Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system. Pay us the exit pool. Wake up the silence.
And welcome to the sixth episode of the Star Chamber Show. This is Stephen Zimmer, one of your five great co-hosts, and we are very excited to be here on the new year. We've got a great show for you tonight. You've probably been seeing out on Twitter and Facebook a lot of crazy banners going around. We had a series of four made for tonight's guests who we've been looking forward to having, and in a big, big way. But first, real quick, we'll cover just a couple little notes. We're definitely wanted to wish everyone a very happy new year, and hopefully 2014 will be all of your best ones yet. And of course, from us at Seven Star Press, we definitely extend that to all of you, and we are definitely excited because we're going to be unleashing quite a few characters onto the literary world as we go forward. And one is Ashley Rose Sullivan, and we've got Bob Freeman and Aaron Drown, and of course, Sayla Janelle, who, of course, you know from the show. And, yes, I got your name right this time. And Susan Roddy. I told you I'd start 2014 off right. So, and then I decided I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do some breaking news, sort of. It's we've kind of known about it, but I wanted to go ahead and announce that Crimson Heart is joining the SSP family. She's a fantastic author.
And awesome.
Yeah, I think Susan knows a little bit about her here or there. But, we're stoked to have her. Yeah, we are stoked to have her aboard, and we are going to be doing an official press release, but I thought since in the spirit of the celebration of the new year, we'd go ahead and announce her along with all of our authors that we have, very new authors that we have new titles from coming out this year. Of course, all your favorites like Michael West and Mr. Alex Brown and all them, we will definitely have titles roaring out this year. I think Michael's been involved in a certain Hades project, which we're all anticipating. And he's got, he's got a limited edition version, hardcover edition of the Wide Game, which we're getting news out about now. Right now, in fact, is about the end of the pre-order window. If you want to check the Seven Star Press site, because there's only 75 copies of that available, so you definitely want to pick that up for sure. And then also among the Seven Star Press titles, we have a few new ones with Eric Garrison's Sinking Down, and we also have Jackie Gamber's Reclamation, Book 3 of the Leland Dragon series. So it's great YA fantasy, yay. And Eric's is a great paranormal urban fantasy. And so, yeah, should give those a look. And we got a lot of things going on. And but tonight, I mean, do we have a show for you. We definitely do. Oh, my God. That's thunder. I hear thunder. Well, I think that's a warning that we got somebody on the horizon here. So I think, you know me with my haikus, you know, like I always say, haiku, another one for you. So here we go. I've got a special haiku just for tonight. Audience listens. The magic moment arrives. Cabin goddess shine. There you go. Classic 575 haiku original right here on the Star Chamber Show. So. But I think Zeus has a message for us really quickly.
Release the Kraken.
So I think we better take that seriously. But without further ado, I think we got to say this right. And I'm going to put this in my best voice possible as a lifelong fan of the band that this is a little bit of a derivative from. You wanted the best. You got the best. The hottest Alaskan blogger in the world, Chris. And I think she's with us. Let's hope.
I'm here.
Yes, Chris is here. Welcome.
I'm here.
Yay.
Yay.
I am so excited.
You're so funny. Oh, my God.
You?
Those are the most epic graphics ever. I mean, how can I not be just a tad bit nervous and a tad bit overwhelmed at once? Yes, you have actually made me nervous. Oh, my God.
I just want to get through the show intro without botching it because, you know, we had a Kiss parody, a haiku, we had Thunder, and we had the Release the Kraken clip from Clash of the Titans ready for you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, it's pitch black. I survived my New Year night, and I've been preparing, you know, mentally for this, you know, meditating over a BLT and a, you know, all that wonderful thing.
Is it true that in Alaska on New Year's the herds of vampires run free and do their thing, or is that just a myth?
No, that's true. Now, but
okay.
See, I'm not ever bothered by them because I have my horde of zombie strippers that I keep check on the perimeters. Yeah, so they keep the vampires at bay. And if they do make it to the, you know, the perimeter, then I don't have to worry because the squirrels, who's obviously led by Herbert, you know, they take care of it. Them and the Ronin across the street. The Ronin, yeah. I've got
we
Ronin.
Should do like,
it's
we should
quite
do like
fabulous.
An update to West Side Story where it's like the Alaskan vampire and the Alaskan zombie gang. It's like they have a dance-off during the 30 days of night.
That would be really cool. Now, the strippers, though, I mean, they're pretty base. We have to keep them, you know, like, as long as we can throw them blood-soaked dollar bills, they're good to go. They stay on the perimeter.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we're good to go. Occasionally, you know, a couple of mutant, you know, polar bears, and we're, you know, they have to, I don't know. Anyway, I'm here. God, I cannot believe the buildup. All right, Stephen, start asking away, you guys. I'll do my best, you know. You know me. I always give it 110%.
150%, but, oh, man. I mean, I've just had a blast just doing these banners for you and stuff. I mean, I've had more fun promoting the show than I think anything in a long time.
Just note, anybody that's coming on the show, if you tell Stephen, go have at it. You have access to any photos you find in my photo album on Facebook, and he is your friend. That means he has access to any photo, and he will use it. I didn't have a problem with it, but Jeff, I just looked at Jeff and went, at least I'm not, we're talking about me and you're not involved in it, because I guarantee that if I had given permission, he probably would have used one of you snoring with a cat in your face. So Jeff's very happy you didn't use any photos of him.
Oh, no. No, I wanted to show off your many colorful facets, and I think I did a good job, especially, hey, even got the clown nose shot in there.
Yes.
That was awesome.
And speaking of the clown nose, another shout out from last week's guest, because Jessica, if it wasn't for Jessica of Jess Resides Here, I would never have you as one of my dearest best friends in the whole world and would never have discovered Seven Star Press, because she dragged me in and said, Stephen, must have her as blogger. And here I am. So we have to give kudos to Jessica. And
oh, most
the clown nose.
Yes,
and
Jessica, of course, is wreaking havoc down under now, down in Australia.
Yep.
But
Yeah. We need to. You know, I need to go down there because I need to drag her into the mana bar, and hook her up with a good geek man, and she'll be happy.
Oh yeah, but the travel from north to south has been tremendous for the past week. We've gone from Australia to Alaska, so we've definitely definitely moved north.
And obviously, it's really hot here because everyone, I mean, I must have been melting and bringing on the heat because in preparation for the show because it's 20 degrees. It's 20
degrees
Fahrenheit.
Then.
it's really warm because it was negative 52 a week ago.
Oh, my God. Hey.
No wonder you read so much.
Yeah, well, that, well, it doesn't, it does help the fact that that's kind of my thing is reading because, you know, I'm an English lit person and, yeah, I read way too much. I guess that should
yeah,
be
Yeah, not just
that,
you write, too. Yeah, because I'm
yes,
not going to let you get
I
away
do.
Without saying that you're a pretty darn good writer.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Kai has already told me that if I don't publish a book this year, I'm dead. So my partner, Kai, is a finishing fairy. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, that's good news. Yeah, because I'm hoping, yeah, I've been hoping you'd get something out there for sure.
Well, there are things out there, but I'm just not going to tell you under which name.
Nice.
No, because see, here's the problem. Do I publish or do I not publish under my name?
It's not Stephanie Meyer, right?
No. I wouldn't be living in a cabin without running water if I was Stephanie Meyer. And I also would absolutely Oh, my God, no. So I have to different props. I have, you know how outspoken I am about the Twilight thing.
Oh, wow. I think, Chris, are you still there? I think Chris may have dropped the signal.
Yeah, she may have dropped. Uh-oh.
Well, she's probably overwhelmed the whole system just
yeah.
by being on the show tonight.
I'm sorry.
Be calling. She'll call back. I know that. I'm not too worried.
Yeah, she's going to see the Alaskan lines in the chat room.
It could be one of the NSA things. Aha, there she is. I think
that's
her.
Oh, here she is. Okay.
It's probably because they knew I was going to start talking about my absolute, complete, and total outspoken, you know, stance on young adult books and appropriate. Yeah. See, this is why I'm worried about publishing because I'm very outspoken when it comes to authors behaving badly.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wee bit. And I tell people where they can stick it and where how they should stick it and how far they should stick it up. And especially authors, publishers, just you know, and that's the way I am. So definitely things will be published, but probably not under Morton. I want a fair chance. I'm going to be like Stephen King hiding behind his name saying, look, I can write something other than splatter, you know, things, you know. I can write something other than Carrie, and we'll see. We'll go from there. I don't know. We'll see. I'm enjoying myself the way I am. There's tons of projects for this year, tons and tons of projects. So.
No kidding. So where do we start? Cabin Goddess first and then go from there?
We can start if you want to start. I mean, Cabin Goddess started off as Cabin Bitch. That was the name of the blog. And I had aspirations of being a foodie blogger. It was and also it was a place for me to put photography because I was at the time doing a double major as in English lit and photojournalism. And so, but I had no internet at the cabin. And I did not have internet until 2011. So all my blogging from 2000 on this particular blog from 2007 on was done via iPhone or started off on the BlackBerry and then became via iPhone. And so everything I did was on a very, very slow 2G to 3G connection, including uploading photos that I edited and transferred from my computer up to the to my phone and then uploaded to the internet. So if you go way back to the beginning, you'll see some very awkward looking blog posts because you know how I am with formatting. And that was due to the fact that I was blogging from my iPhone. And, you know, what was I supposed to do? We had no internet service here in the woods. And, you know, I got internet when I went to school.
Well, my God, but, I mean, the blog has just come a long way in,
yeah.
as far as, like, I mean, your graphics. And, of course, Fourth Wall Friday, I've got to have you talk about, because that is one of the coolest features I've ever seen on a blog. And I want to say I'm honored that I was able to participate in one. But, yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, tell us a little bit about Fourth Wall Friday in your words.
Fourth Wall Friday is literally became Natasha Troup, who's a one of the best horror writers out there, found me on guestblogger.com or something like that. I can't even remember what it was. And she said, I want to have you review my books. You don't just review you. And she had read the review I did of David's book. God,
Angel Killer.
Bless it. Damn horrible. Yeah, Angel Killer. And she said, that was just like one of the most amazing reviews. Please review my book. And I go, I really don't have time in the next couple of months to do any reviewing because I've got my TBR pile is beyond high. And she goes, I go, how about we start with something fun? You can do a guest post or something or interview or whatever. I haven't even perfected my interviews, which is another one of my favorite features. And she said, okay. So she writes me what has become the original basis of Fourth Wall Friday. And what she did, I mean, anybody that doesn't know what Fourth Wall, I know that you know what Fourth Wall is, Bela. So, I mean,
oh, totally, I need to sign up for this because I'm, like, so excited to do this once my
release comes out. If anybody goes to my website, it's right there on the sign-up. There's a brick wall with the bubble letters that say Fourth Wall Friday, and the sign-up form's there. And Chris Garrison's done it, and David did the second one, or third one. He did the third one. The first actual official one that I called Fourth Wall Friday, David did. And you've done it, Stephen. And, oh, and we've had, of course,
RJ.
Who else? RJ, did you do it? Yeah.
I think RJ did it. And Garrison
RJ's
do it?
Interview. Garrison did it, and he signed up again for a second one. And, I had James,
James
really
Tuck.
Horrible.
James Tuck.
I had Tuck on there. Tuck was amazing.
Yeah.
Tuck ended up, actually, that one went all over, and he ended up printing it out and handing it out at a con. And it was really well done. And authors sit there, it's so funny. Well, tell me how I'm supposed to write this. And this is all I'm going to say. If you know what Fourth Wall is, the idea of Fourth Wall, if you've ever watched Young Frankenstein or if you've ever seen a Shakespeare play done correctly, then you understand, or studying any kind of Shakespeare, you understand what Fourth Wall is. It's basically breaking out of, it's so in theatrical performances, it's when an actor or the narrator speaks directly to the audience. So this Fourth Wall Friday is kind of reverse. It's a way for you to stick your author hat on, dive into your world build. There's several ways to do it, but this is one way. And either get caught up in the world build and the characters. A lot of times authors get confronted by the characters when they write. David got yelled at while he was writing in the cafe, in the coffee shop. The original one, the first one, Natasha broke in, it started off, because all of her books are set in this town in Rhode Island, or Vermont. And there is on the outskirts of town, there's a mom-and-pop kind of store, which is a very typical store they have in New England. It's very specific. And she walked in and she asked for a birch beer and she talked to the guy and everything was set up just as the whole store is set up in the book. And she interacted with Gil, the main character, one of the protagonists, and he had no clue who she was, but she knew who he was and she gave him a bad time. And I thought, this is so perfect. Why can't what an interesting way for an author to introduce not only their style of writing, but also their world builds and a different way of promoting it. Because it's not going to – some people are going to be going to go, I have no clue what book that's from. And then we'll just, you know, we put a little blurb about the book and the author, et cetera, at the bottom of Fourth Wall. Friday. And but the idea is it's another example of writing out there that get people excited and interested. It's like a gigantic flash fiction teaser. Of course,
yeah.
Tucks is literally
I think it's really good
story.
For authors, too, because it makes you think about your world in a different way. I mean, like, so often we get on a track of how plots and things have to go that it really kind of takes you into different corners and makes you think about things in a different way.
Exactly. Exactly. I told that to an author like a few months ago. And what's funny is, in fact, Chris is, like he was just saying, he's doing a second one later this month. He's wrote it, and he's written a couple of them for his own blog because it was so wonderful to write. It was so fun to write. And another author who's his name's Joseph Picard, no relation to the captain, except that he's an amazing, I discovered him just on a fluke and asked him if he wanted to do a Fourth Wall Friday. And his stuff is like zombies and nanobites and nanobots and all these kind of interesting characters. But he's already had one ready for me. And when he signed up, I go, you just signed up. And it's like less than a week away. He goes, oh, I wrote this a while ago because I knew I'd be signing up again. And it's fun. And I've got authors I have no clue who these people are. I've never met them in my life. I've never met them online. I've never seen them anywhere. But they read the Fourth Wall Friday because somebody retweeted it. And they really wanted to be part of it. They saw the sign up and they signed up. And I've got, right now, there's a balance between 50-50 balance of authors I know and authors I have no clue who they are. I've never read their books. And I've now added a couple of their books to my TBR pile. So it's, hey, that's a little selfish for me to enjoy it, too. I do enjoy it. And it's wonderful. My interviews are fun, though, too.
Yes, they are.
I can vouch for that. Yeah, they are. They will make you think to try to answer her questions. Oh, my God.
I broke yours up into two.
Three.
Because it was
we
so.
Three.
Don't
yeah,
write
it was,
three. It was a. Okay. Well, it was perfect, though. It was wonderful. Because you did,
yeah,
I mean,
I
it was
fun.
A blast. Yeah, and then I just.
It was a good time.
Yesterday I had Chuck Wendig on, which was.
Yes.
A boom.
I was reading that earlier. Yeah.
And then I had James Rollins, who actually found out that I was one of Harper's reviewers. And he and I have been actually friends on Facebook and Twitter for a while. And just, I don't know, friends, whatever. He friended me, and I about peed my pants when he friended me 2 years ago because I'm a huge Rollins fan. And he said, I want to be on her blog, and I know she's got the book because he gets a list of who's gotten the book from NetGalley or Edelweiss, and I got the book, his new book, his second book in his Sanguine series that he's writing with whatever her name is, I can't remember, Rebecca, and I said I'm not going to be ready for it, finished with it by the 10th, and they go, well, do you want to do a guest post or an interview? I'll go, if you'll interview on my blog, I'll be honored. And the next thing I know, he's answered everything, including a recipe and all that jazz. It was, but Chuck was, I mean, come on, it's Chuck frickin' Wendig. Oh my God, I did pee my pants. Yeah, we had to go get the couch clean, the whole nine yards, and it was a nerdgasm all over the place. Anyway, all right, so come on. You guys are supposed to be asking me questions. This is not let's listen to Chris rant.
Oh, no. It's always fun to listen to you rant. Well, you have so many cool things you're involved in, so let's just bring up one of your favorite things of all, bacon, because that might be a fun non-book thing we can talk about for a
all
bit.
Right, okay.
So.
Bacon launched the Cabin Goddess. So you're going to hear the origin of Bacon and the Cabin Goddess. We have an incredible source of home, because Alaska is so so secluded. People, you know, everything, all the food, all the fresh food, everything has to be flown up here unless it's gotten here, grown in Alaska. You'll see shirts all over the place that say grown in Alaska. And I'm wearing one right now, just in honor of the show. At any rate, one of the things that's grown in Alaska are pygmies. And Jeff bought me a triplet or triplets 1 year. And what I would do with what we would do is we'd butcher the pigs. We'd have our whatever, our food in the freezer. But I'm not a huge – bacon is one thing, but I eat very little pork in other ways. And actually, I hardly eat any red meat or I eat a lot of white meat, chicken, and I eat a lot of fish and then game just because it's Alaska. And I would trade my pork, my bacon, my pork shoulders and whatnot for fish because I was unable to go fishing that year. And so I had 75 pounds of halibut traded for one pig, which is fine with me because it was cheaper for me to get the pig than it was for all that halibut. And that started the bacon thing at the house. But then I decided that I was going to make bacon maple donuts because I couldn't go to Portland and get them from Voodoo. So I made bacon maple donuts, took a picture of it with my phone, and posted this. This is beginning of November, beginning of December 2011. And Justin Bogg of, who's another, he's an award-winning author, friend of mine, went nuts and was literally tweeting it like every other day for 3 months. And I went from having 12 readers a day, which I thought was the coolest thing since I went above 10, you know, that was reading my blog, to like 150 in like 4 weeks. And I just could not even understand why my blog was so popular. As long as I posted a recipe, and then I started talking about books, and that was it. I had to put aside the foodie thing, but my bacon thing. And I love bacon. I don't eat it every day. I'm not an idiot, and I don't eat nitrate-induced bacon that you can get, you know, for however, you know, in those crappy little store packages. My bacon is Alaskan, unless I order special order bacon, and it's always thinner cut, and it's nitrate-free. Because bacon is actually good for you. And I also own baconporn.org. It's another one.
Yep.
I love it. Oh, my God. I was looking at that earlier, and I was just dying, looking at all the – oh, my God. I can't even describe this site. It's awesome.
It's, you know, when you open it up, you're introduced to – with, you know, the mustache made of bacon. And you'll find – there's funny things in there, but most of it is recipes, and there are articles about, you know, bacon's good for you because it really is. Bacon – if anything out there is going to be bad for you if you overdo it. Chamomile tea will kill you if you drink too much of it. Truth. Because it's a poison.
Yeah.
It's an analgesic. It's like overdosing.
I'm really allergic to – yeah, I can't drink it. I'm really allergic to ragweed. So that like, it's very unpleasant if I drink chamomile tea.
But, yeah, but you – but my but you see my point. I mean, you can
– yeah, yeah.
Having a good bloody steak is great every now and then, but you shouldn't overindulge in anything. So,
exactly.
And most of the times when you see my, like, Stephen, remember that BLT sandwich that I posted that you, like, ended up sharing with people and going absolutely crazy about? That huge,
yes.
Like a triple decker. Yeah, see, bacon. He remembers
that was awesome.
The sandwich.
Yeah.
It only had 4 slices of bacon on that whole thing. Actually, 2 slices because I break my bacon in slices. And the thing is that because I had lots of lettuce and my fresh tomatoes and all that jazz, bacon's a savory ingredient. You don't need a ton of bacon. Anyway, but it's actually, there's actual nutritional value to bacon. There's nutritional value to every single food you have, even lard. But believe it or not, but it's just the matter and the quantity and how you do it. And the books that I will publish underneath my name are the ones that are in the works and going to be published as soon as I can get the right art layout and stuff done. And that means I have to afford the program because I have to buy InDesign again. Are my cookbooks, and one of them I have to find an artist who will do. Because my artist disappeared that was doing all the artwork for the graphic novel, The Bacon Walker, which
That's
by
awesome.
The way, was awesome. Yeah, Sharon Stone of I Smell Sheep. I'm one of the herd. she said it. She said something about bacon and whatnot, and I go, I come creeping in the night. I am the bacon walker. See, so when you wake up the next day and there's grease
drops across your carpet. Just know when you open your fridge, I have left you a present. And that was it. And then somebody heard me say it, and my friend, the artist, created the Bacon Walker, which he drew a picture of me in kind of like a underworld-like coat and looking all badass.
I've seen that. That was... Is that the graphic that you used for the bacon flogging? I think I saw that on your site earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, if you want to get your daily bacon flogging. What?
That's actually what I was sitting here looking at right now.
Bacon flogging. Anyone, let's see, can we get the sound? I think I can, I mean, I've actually got bacon flogging. I'm nothing if not, you know, just slightly insane and creative. It's a good mix. Good mix. Your daily bacon flogging from the Bacon Walker. Yeah.
I'm on the web right now looking at some of the recipes and stuff, like the duct tape turkey with a bacon meat suit. I'm looking at this thinking, God, I wish I would have seen this before Christmas. This looks really good.
I want to cook that now.
You know, the recipe for the joke, another author, came online at, I think it was 1 o'clock before Thanksgiving. She goes, if I turn the oven up to 550, will my turkey cook faster? And I
honey, no.
She goes, they called me into work because everybody's out sick, and she's a nurse. And I went, okay, what do you need? She goes, I have to be able to cook a turkey while I'm gone, and I can't trust that the drunkies in the living room are going to check it and baste it. And I don't know how to cook a turkey. I went, you have duct tape? She goes, yeah, I got duct tape. Do you have a Sharpie and a pad of paper? Yeah. I go, and you got your turkey, right? I go, do you have like a cookie rack or do you have what kind of thing? Because she had an aluminum foil thing. And she goes, I got a cookie rack. I can use the rack from the toaster oven, she says. I went, all right. So I hooked her up because it's really simple. The easiest way to cook a turkey is you turn your oven on to 500 or 450, 500, and you get your turkey ready. You put the bacon all over it, and she wanted to put bacon on it. And I use beer and water. You can use just straight beer, but beer and water, because water evaporates so quickly, and beer will last, you know, the alcohol in the beer. And plus, it's a great moisturizer and it doesn't taste like beer. Your meat won't taste like beer. And you just basically, you leave it in there, and after a half an hour, you turn the oven off. And the duct tape is to duct tape the oven closed, because if they're drunk, they're not going to bother unpeeling the duct tape. The Sharpie is to write a note that you also tape to the oven saying, open the oven and you're going to be eating top ramen for Thanksgiving. And lo and behold, she came home and she had the most perfect – then you just turn the oven on really quick to crisp the bacon up after you take the lid off. And your turkey's perfect. It will be the most perfect – you can do that with chicken, turkey, pot roast, prime rib – any of those. It's the easiest and simplest and one of the best. My mom does all of her meat that way, and everyone, it's the most amazing way to cook anything. It's slow cooking. It's the way we've always cooked until we had, you know, got too fast for our own good. So ramble. Here I go again.
No, that's fantastic. I'm just glad that I'm finally learning the Alaskan currency exchange here. 75 pounds of halibut for one pig, so I've got the currency exchange down now. So
yeah, you got the currency
that's good to know.
Down, yeah. Well, some people are – yesterday I was posting photos. I said something about – I was eating peppermint Oreos and white chocolate Hershey candy cane kisses dipped in Hershey chocolate. I said, that's been my breakfast and lunch today. And someone goes, and I said, oh, and thank you so much for giving them to me, Jeanette. And then Karen goes, how many people do you have supplying food to you in Alaska? And I'm like, oh, shit. Because there's like about 6 or 7 people that send me care packages, because we don't have certain things in Alaska. Like I only can get chair wine in a bottle for $2 for one single serving bottle.
boy.
And it cost me $2 a bottle. Yeah, and I'm a huge cheer wine fan because I haven't been in Alaska all my life. I've only been here 10 years, a little over 10 years. And I miss that, and I miss Hidden Valley, or I miss there's all these little things that I miss around the country. So I've kind of got hookups around the country, and they send me stuff. And I don't get special. We don't have specialty Oreos up here. We have, like, maybe two or three varieties. So my friend in Texas, Jeanette Whitus, who's another book blogger, she mails me packages of specialty Oreos, and she also sent me gingerbread Twix, which I'd never even seen. So, yeah.
I've never heard of gingerbread Twix. Susan just told me about she found a cheerwine fountain out there in the Carolinas.
There's a restaurant down in the southeast. It's called, I don't know how far in and out and around it goes, but it's actually one about 20 minutes from where I live, and it's all it is a little, like, well, it's called cookout, so cookout type thing. It's burgers and hot dogs and chicken sandwiches with the fries and stuff like that. But on their soda fountain, they actually have the most deliciously sweet, syrupy thing ever, and it's the best thing in the world. And I keep telling Steven he needs to, you know, come down here from his little hole up in Kentucky and come have fountain cheese wine, and it will make a can again.
Oh, my God, that sounds so good. We love the specialty sodas. Jeff, I mean, there's shopping up here is limited. We have the Illuminati-run Walmart, which I will not go into. the Illuminati run it. That's all I have to say. Evil, evil place. So I've stepped foot in it twice, and it's taken me at least a week, if not 10 days, to recover each time I've gone in. We have Safeway, which I don't know if anyone knows what Safeways are over on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, Safeways are big on the Pacific Northwest down to California. So actually West Coast. So West Coast, Safeways are a big thing. But up here they're called Cars, and they're owned by the Cars family, but they're Safeways, and they have – they're wonderful. They're very expensive, but it's a wonderful store. And then there's Fred Meyer's, which is the same thing as Kroger is on the East Coast. And that is where I go shopping is Fred Meyer. They have the best, and thank God we have a Fred Meyer, or we'd be screwed because food is so expensive. When Jeff went to the store, he goes, I can't spend more than $100. I look at him and go, oh, crap, that's like what, 3 days worth of food? And honestly, it is. If you are not shopping as economically as possible, it is so expensive to eat up here. Just for two of us, we're probably about $400 to $500 a month just for food, which is, again, why I'm living in a bloody cabin without any running water. So, I mean, it's just, you know, we balance. What do you want to give up? Do I want to just do my laundry and take a shower at the same time? Yeah. I'd rather have that, be able to have high-speed internet, all the gaming things I have, my streaming videos, and be able to eat something other than Top Ramen. Because it's just expensive. It's $6 for a gallon of milk. It's expensive, as expensive to live up here as it is in New York City.
Wow.
So, one-bedroom apartment in downtown Fairbanks, a one-bedroom apartment that does not include your heat is $1,200. And our place includes our heat, which is absolutely – I'm waiting for the landlord to start charging us for heat because they should be, because heating oil is almost $5 a gallon. And you go through about 600 gallons in the winter. So to heat this place is at least $3,000 for the winter. That doesn't include, you know, I mean, yeah, you use some. So it's probably about $4,000 a year just to heat the cabin. And my electric bill is $150 a month because we have to pay for all the – they bumped us all up since the gold mining people get a discount, and they had to put in a diesel generator to produce electricity because there was not enough power going to the gold mines. And so guess who gets to pay for the diesel generator and the fuel? We do. The gold mine gets a 20% discount.
Jeez.
So there's lots of wonderful things about living here, but it's extremely expensive.
Wow.
You know.
Now, I'm supposed to, Stephen has prompted me, I'm supposed to get you on a new topic of, oh, you'll love this, bad authors. What are things that just drive you nuts about authors, bad habits, bad whatever?
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Yep.
Go.
Okay. One of the other things I do is the Finishing Fairies, which is an author image service. So, no, I don't just do blog tours, and no, we just aren't PR, but we do SEO auditing and whatnot, and we brand. And one of the things that we tell our clients is we give them a list of examples of what not to do. Should you reply to reviews? It's up to you. Can you reply to a review politely and not have an argument about it on some other board, have it accidentally get leaked back to the reviewer that you're a dick piston and can't be nice about the fact that, oh, somebody may not like what you write? Not everyone's going to like what you write. I don't read 5-star reviews. I write them, but I don't read them. I read the 3-star reviews because that's where I'm going to get an honest review, because that's where somebody has the balls to write a 3-star review in this day and age. Authors behaving badly. Commenting on a person's blog post or review saying that I just didn't understand what they were saying. Excuse me? What? Oh, really? Well, you just don't understand story devices. You're not a writer. Don't assume, asshole. I got removed from 2 tours. Yeah,
well, stuff
mistake.
Is so objective, subjective anyway. I mean, that's like, I don't know. I feel like that's so hard. I mean, I know, like, as an author, you want everyone to see it from your point of view, but they're not going to. And, yeah, I don't know.
I'm graced with knowing some incredible big wig authors, and one of them told me a long time ago, was great friends with my grandfather, said to me, because I told him, I go, I don't know what's so good about this, I don't like it. And I was 9 reading Hemingway.
Yeah.
A nine-year-old shouldn't understand
right.
Hemingway.
Right, right.
2 years later, I read the same book, and I absolutely loved it because I understood something in it. And he said to me, first of all, as your opinion is subjective, this piece of work is subjective. It's fiction. And it's written with story device. I mean, he gave me the whole runaround. He goes, but at base, it's a piece of art. When you look at a piece of art on the wall, you're going to have one reaction. I'm going to have the other because we both have different life experiences, which is one of the wonderful things about having genres. Because people in the literary world, you know, in literary fiction, look down upon upon genres. I find that, and as a medievalist myself, because that's what my specialty is in, where I got my master's degree is in medieval literature, it is something that I was shamed constantly when people would see me reading my urban fantasy books. And I got to the point where I was hiding them in different covers. And I know that's really bad, but anybody that's ever been in an English department knows we're all a bunch of narcissistic elitist bastards. And I have no problem saying that I can get really snooty when it comes to literature. But every type of writing has its place. So as an author, if you're going to put something out there, you've already taken that responsibility that there are going to be some people that are jerks that don't write a real good review because they're, you know, I'm sorry, but book bloggers, people become way too, the authors that we're involved in, everyone here on this show, everyone listening gets too tunnel visioned with a review should be like the kind that we get from these book bloggers that write reviews for whatever reason they're doing it. I mean, it's a job. Let's put it bluntly. I may not get paid for it, but it is a job. I mean, it's a responsibility. And as much of a responsibility as I have, I'm sorry, but the guys that you really want to be buying your books, most of them aren't reviewers. And if they get prompted and they feel like writing a review, it may not be the best. It may have really crappy grammar, whatever. It may just say, I really like your book. But it's a book that they bought and that they felt necessary. They felt moved enough to say, wow, thank you. I liked your book. Or, you know what, this really sucked. Well, those aren't going to help you. So if somebody's going to write a review and actually tells you why they think it sucked, move on. You put it out there, buck up, grow a set, because that's the way, that's what's going to have to happen. If you can't handle criticism, then you don't belong in this industry. Period. I'm so tired of whiny, bitching authors whining to me because somebody on Goodreads is after them and posting a bunch of bad reviews. Well, do something about it. Block them and move on.
Right. Do you think, with that being said, do you think something I've wondered about recently, do you think a lot of people have started writing for the wrong reasons then, because they do want that image or what they think they're gaining from it at, like, the end goal, and not necessarily because they're in love with the process or they actually have something to say? Like, now that, like, all these franchises and stuff are getting, you know, instantly popular, do you think people are just going about this for the wrong reasons, I guess?
Yeah. I think that since Amazon and all the rest of them and Smashwords has opened up the world into e-books, that it takes that, you know, and everyone gives self and indie publishing, because now Seven Star Press is still considered, and it is an independently small, owned small press. In other words, it's not part of the Big Five.
Sure.
There's no Big Six.
Right.
There's no Big Six anymore. There's a Big Five because one of them got ate up by the other. And trade publishing, though, is following the lead of self-publishing and indie publishing, by the way, in many ways. But the problem is that I think what's happened is that anybody can upload a Word document and have it converted into a book and slap a piece of crap cover on it. Anybody can write. 80% of the majorly selling genres, or selling genre on Amazon, is romance and all the subgenres under it, including erotica. I just read an article today that this guy said, I'm sure I write in underneath my other name because that's my passion, but I have to make money too. So he's written 100 different eroticas this year, and he's made like close to $300,000 just writing eroticas in the last 3 years. And is he doing it for the right reason? I don't think so. Is he doing it for a legitimate reason? Yes. But to me, writing is art. I mean, yeah, you want to make money on it. You want to become successful. But, you know, Neil Gaiman didn't do it to make money.
Yeah.
Zelazny didn't do it to make money. None of these people did it. It's great that they became successful and were able to support. Every single one of the successful authors out there says, I want to be able to support myself and my family. That's not, I want to become a millionaire and become famous.
Right.
Most authors, that's where you see the difference between, you know, they want to be able to, sure, everyone wants to be famous and have their 15 minutes of fame. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, when you ask them the questions, the right answer, and the people that I want to read are the ones that say, I'd like to be able to support myself. I'd like to be able to sell a book. But the authors that, and your worst, biggest mistake you can make is voicing your bitch and complaints in Facebook groups and Twitter, even if you're, or even to your own followers. Jessica talked about an author last week, an instance with a friend of hers that got attacked. I was the friend. It took me a long time to get over it, and I took down Cabin Goddess. I took down my Twitter account. I was harassed so badly. Goodreads had to shut down my account in order to control what was happening. Amazon got involved. And the only thing that reason that I even got Amazon involved, thankfully, is because my dad's one of my dad's law office happens to have lawyers on the Seattle board. So I was able to say, if something's not done, my dad was able to threaten somebody to come in and find out what's going on. And they would have caught on soon enough. But they had to take down several things. I had my review downvoted and upvoted over 297 times, which anybody that reviews for Amazon knows that's insanity. That's called an author behaving badly and sending out his fiance to attack me on Cabin Goddess because she didn't like my opinion. It was a crappy fucking book. Excuse my language. We're at past 9 o'clock. Deal with it. It was a crappy fucking book.
You're uncensored. Don't worry.
I'm uncensored. It was. And I have no problem saying it. And I gave legitimate reasons and critical reasons why it wasn't good. And it was a zombie book. I read zombie books. Don't tell me I don't know how to read zombie books. That's kind of like one of the things I study, is the whole zombie culture. And I know exactly what kind of, you know, conventions are supposed to be within the zombie genre. And there's very specific ones. And sure, everyone's trying to do the original thing, but let's face it, nobody's going to be original when it's a zombie book. You just have to be a really good writer and give me compelling characters to follow. The rest of it, yeah, we know. There's a zombie apocalypse happening. They want to eat your brains. They're undead. Double tap. It's all the same. But if you give me an interesting story, I'm going to read it. I'll read anything. I'm a B book reader is what I like to call it. I'll read bad books and enjoy them. I love hack writing. I love good hack writing.
Awesome.
Come on. Oh, my God.
No, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. I've done it, too. I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Pulp fiction, dime store novels. I taught a class with my advisor called American Prose, and we focused on all of the hardboiled detective novels. All these books, which we consider classics now, you know, these guys were writing books that were dimes. They were being sold for a dime at the store, not a dollar,
yeah.
Which the other books are being sold for. A dime, because that's what they were, dime store books, pulp fiction. It's a specific genre now. It's become a genre. I love crap like that.
Yeah.
I love bad movies. I watch Uwe Boll movies. Hello, I can say that live on the radio. Everyone knows I watch shit movies. I have no problem watching Uwe Boll. There's one Uwe Boll movie that I still have my mouth hanging open, though I still have a problem with. But the majority of them I will watch, because that asshole can get wonderful actors playing the most horrific roles and saying the most, oh, my God, did he just really say that line? Well, that is until the Germans pulled the what was it? You know why he did all the bad movies, right? You know the story behind that one? You should, Steven.
No.
Michael
would jump on that.
Michael, you should know that one. Yeah, the Uwe Boll, the reason why he put out all those crappy movies is in Germany, at the time, you got a tax break if you didn't make a certain amount of money in the box office. So he would make money from the government when his movie flopped, and then he'd produce the DVD, and it would go skyrocketing through the, you know, and he'd get all these investors would get their money back, plus he'd make millions. Billions on these shitty freaking movies, which I love. I love Uwe Boll movies. Yeah. Michael and I have a love for the same type of movies. You and me. Our favorite. And Tentacles.
You got Tentacles.
Hashtag Tentacle Love.
It's the whole Cthulhu mythos. It's not just H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah, I'm huge. You are too. I loved your.
I had to
make sure that in your interview that I put you in your costume from the con.
I know what you're talking about. I need to rework him. His arms are broken. He grabs people's
you,
butts when I walk by.
You haven't read Spook House yet, have you?
No, it's on there.
Okay.
I'm going to. I can admit it. You have to understand. You know what happens? This is what happens. I know. I feel so bad. This is my year, though. I have not signed up for any tours past February. I'm so proud of myself. I'm going to read the books I want to read. And here's the thing. I want to read all of SSP's books. The problem is, all of my favorite books, my Iana Andrews and all my Kim Harrison books and the SSP books that I want to read and all my James Rollins books, the reason I never got caught up, all of my favorite books have been put on the wayside because I've been inundated with reading all these books by indie authors, and I have a horrible, horrible, horrible addiction to blog tours. I can admit it. It is a bad addiction but it keeps my blog busy, but it means that I'm reading tons of books that I would want to read anyway if I found them. But I discover them because of blog tours. Blog tours are a wonderful way for readers to find great books. As an author, though, I want to tell you right now, don't expect sales. Blog tours aren't about selling your book. Blog tours are about getting noticed and getting people to see who you are. So if you're going to invest in a blog tour, invest in one. But don't expect your sales to jump. You will get some sales, depending on how, you know, what kind of tour host you have. But the most important thing for a blog tour to know is that, and this is coming from the Finishing Fairies advice, and Stephen and I, when we did First Rule Tours, we know that blog tours, the most important thing is getting that book into the hands of good bloggers who will then, you know, weave it out to the rest of the world. That's
right.
The most important thing about the blog tour. It's called exposure.
Bless you for saying
I'm
that, because I say that to authors all the time. I'm like,
yeah.
These tours are not going to be reflect in sales, but it puts your footprint out there in terms of, you know, getting to know you and who you are and what you're about. Thank you for saying that.
It's a stepping stone. What's going to happen is, like, say, part of my services with the Finishing Fairy, I just took on Anderson O'Donnell, which you'll remember, Stephen. We got him 15,000 downloads.
He's so good. Yeah.
He disappeared this last year. He won the huge top Indie 25 from Reader's Digest books out there, you know, one of the top self-published books of 2012, won all these awards, and he disappeared. Well, he didn't disappear. All the work that Stephen and I did and his tour got him noticed by an agent, and he got picked up by an agent. Well, he ended up getting I'm not going to go there because he's my client. I'll let him go there. But he has now rehired me, and we're going to get him into another agency. But for right now, we're rebuilding him, and we're starting Kingdom off with it. It's a new write. It's going to have it's going to be a new edition and stuff like that. But one of the things that he said was, what I did notice was 3 months after that tour, my book sales were just they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's because the bloggers were still sharing the blogs, the reviews were getting posted a little bit later. I don't post my review for a tour book till 2 or 3 weeks after the tour ends on Goodreads or Amazon. Not because I don't want people to, you know, I do it specifically because I know for an author, for me to post it on Amazon and Goodreads 2 weeks after their tour means I'm just giving them more length to their exposure. They're going to get another review. They're going to get – somebody's going to see something else. Oh, wait a minute. I just saw a tour about that. And they'll go Google it. This is what I do. I mean, from my experience, I'll see something. I'll see a new review. I'll say, gosh, didn't I just see somebody tour that the other day? And I'll go, oh, who was it with? And I'll go look it up, and I'll find a new book. I found so many authors that way. So, yes, tours work. Tours work, but don't look for your sales. Look for new connections. Look for new bloggers. Look for new friends, you know, in the blogging world and readers. You're going to – for a new fan base, you're going to – that's what you're going to get. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. There's my ramble for blogs. And as far as,
well,
you know –
it's been so great having you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I keep rambling. I know there's, like, how many people here? We've got Michael, and we've got – Sheila, and we've got
Alex Brown.
Brown, and then of course Stephen Bobinen.
Well, we all want to be front row for this epic night for sure. But unfortunately, I think Susan just buzzed me that we're coming low on the clock time. So I want to give you a chance to talk about where they can find Finishing Fairies and Cabin Goddess and all that kind of good stuff.
Really easy. I am AK Mama on Twitter, which is pretty basic, Alaska Mama, not the gun, though occasionally you will see me with a gun. I'm surprised you didn't use that picture, Stephen. CabinGoddess.com is really easy. The Finishing Fairies, FAIRES.com. We do tours, and we do, but that's just part of it. We've got a whole bunch of services, including, and I want to say this for all these seven-star press authors, we do SEO auditing for your websites and rebuild them to make outstanding blogs, because your blog and your website should be the most important investment of real estate out there for your marketing purposes of you branding yourself as an image. How is that? It's true. I got on Stephen. Stephen changed his blog, didn't you? You redid the seven-star press after Jessica and I attacked you.
Uh-huh. Yes, I did.
Yeah. We got you out of the
80s. Oh, man.
90s. But yeah, and between Kai Wilson and I, is my part. Kai Wilson is from the UK, and myself. Between the two of us, we maintain, and she maintains a server. We maintain over 100 different web blogs and web pages for authors and writers and other projects around the world.
And we are out of time.
And we're out of time.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Cut me off, you know. Oh, my God.
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you for joining us.
We love you, Chris.
Love you, too. All right, now you know I'm going to have to go read your book this month because you called me out in public.
Tentacle love.
I know. Hey, no, it's one of those badly behaving author tactics. I know you. I'm kidding. Tentacle love.
I'm sitting here staring at the tentacles. I'm sitting here staring at the tentacles on my Christmas tree, and I had to.
They can't hear us, but we can hear us. And by the way, this is all being archived. I do blog talk radio too for Bewitching Tours. See, notice how I didn't encroach that really in the actual live show. We're good to go. So much more epic. This is so much more epic.
RJ's, oh, wow.
RJ's whining. Anyway.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it, you guys. It was fun, and I'm sorry that I rambled too much. You guys were supposed to cut me off.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no, you were
awesome.
No,
you were fantastic.
No,
it was great.
Whatever. Whatever.
New Year's show.
Believe me,
give
the
you
last
a quick yes, yes, yes.
I didn't say ass hat. I said dick piston and fucking, but I never said ass hat. Okay, ass hat.
Ass hat.
The trifecta.
The cabin got a trifecta. Yes, definitely. The S word, and ass hat. Oh, I think I just picked mistake. Count.
Oh, I love it.
All right, you guys.
I love it.
Happy New
All right,
Year.
Well, I'm
gonna...
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Good night.
All right,
take
bye.
Care.
Bye. Yep.
Bye.